Welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're so encouraged that you've joined us here today, that we get to reveal the things, the awesome things the Lord is revealing to us, God's news behind the news, and so much more. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to BFN Radio.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat and Chris.
What's up?
Good. Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah?
Chris, is he
feeling all right, man?
Is he all right? Is he?
I got cut off, man.
He's looking kind of gloomy today.
Is he kind of looking gloomy?
A little gloomy.
No. You didn't share no gel products with him this morning? No.
I don't think he needs any. He don't have much hair left.
Okay, no much hair left. My goodness. Well, welcome to VFN Radio. We are so pumped about today's program and just so many things. I mean, God is just sharing with us and speaking. We thank you, Lord, that you speak and that you are want to share these things with us. You know, he doesn't have to tell us.
You know what I'm saying? Sure.
Amos says he tells secrets to his friends, right? And Jesus says, I call you my friends. If you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you want to be sure to catch us on the loop, of course, 24 hours a day if you miss us live from 9 to 11 Central. And also, you can catch us through your app and by going to your App Store, Google Play, or iPhone, and search for VFN TV, and you can take VFN Radio on the go. And, of course, you can always find us on the torch going to VFNTV.com. So we have all these ways, and, of course, the podcast. I mean, we have all these ways to share what God is sharing with us and connecting all of this with you is just absolutely wonderful.
Amazing.
Amazing. Well, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but Canada, our neighbors, mm-hmm. You don't hear much about Canada sometimes, you know, but...
Not a lot.
Beautiful place. I went there once as a child. My folks took us up there on a vacation, and the falls, my goodness, talk about something of beauty. You just stand there for an hour, you just look at waterfall.
Yeah,
it's
right.
So amazing. I mean, it's just literally like...
That's Niagara.
Yeah, where does this water come from? It just keeps coming, and it's just, right. It's really a sight to see. But very clean, by the way, where I was at. Very, very clean place. But Canada, man, listen to this. Canada, Chris, they were able to foil and uncover an Al-Qaeda terror plot. This is according to the Christian Post.
Wow.
On trains. They said that there were two men. They were conspiring to murder people on the VIA Canadian Railway train, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Wow.
The RCM were able to find these guys and stop them.
Mm-hmm.
They're allegedly part of Al-Qaeda, and they had this plot to affect the Greater Toronto Area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're soon to be making their really first, appearance in court.
Mm-hmm.
But the police have just confirmed that these suspects were receiving support from Al-Qaeda elements in Iran.
Wow.
Just like, man, I mean, you're seeing this terror, which is being unleashed it seems like just everywhere across the land. And we thank God that... the Canadians were able to catch this, and mm-hmm. before anyone was hurt, they said that no one was in imminent danger
right.
at the time, but they were able to prevent a tragedy. And we thank God for all the wow. other foiled attempts, for all the uncoverings that have already occurred where lives have been saved. But this is the strategy of the enemy. This is the strategy of what the devil wants to do
mm-hmm.
is inflict terror, fear, We have an entire city, like in Boston, completely locked down. They can't even, they weren't able to leave their home. I mean, come on now. Weren't able to leave their home while they were looking for these suspects.
Wow.
And we just need to just stay on our face. We just need to cry out to God. I mean, we've talked on yesterday on VFN radio about mercy, the long plank of mercy that God has allowed us to be walking on, not knowing that at any moment, we're walking blindfolded, not knowing that at any moment we can step over this proverbial plank and fall into shark-infested, chum-prepared waters. And it's over.
Yeah.
And it's over. And you got to ask yourself, you got to wonder, like, you know, what makes America so special? I mean, we're only 5% of the world's population. We consume 95% of the world's resources.
Right.
And it's like, you know, we're not more special or loved than any other people on the face of this earth.
Right.
You know, and you see signs and you see people saying, God bless America. And it's like, look around. He has blessed America. I mean, I fear God for that statement. I can't comfortably even say that statement anymore because it's like he has blessed us.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, real statement is, you know, America needs to bless God.
Yeah.
And it needs to turn back.
Right.
It needs to turn back her heart to the Lord. What made America beautiful and great was this, it's the religious freedom that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
That we've been able to share the gospel.
Yeah, we just need to humble ourselves.
Yeah, just completely.
Enough of this pride.
I mean, pride is just destructive, and it just opens us up for more plans of the enemy. I mean, that's just like, that's the devil's, you know, calling card. He's pride. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what got him in trouble the first time.
Exactly.
And just look at what's just happening, man. This is like, talk about convergence, talk about everything coming together. There's so many things that are coming together that God has spoken. I mean, you don't have to pay too close attention because it's everywhere, but you do need to respond. You know, you do need to respond. And when God speaks, it's a beautiful thing. It's something to be honored and to be revered, but it's not something to be taken lightly and to say, oh, okay, God, thank you, and I'll file that. No, God requires a response. You know, would you continue to talk to someone that didn't respond back to you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not
they didn't take counsel. No. You know, even the word of God says, not to share with a fool because he'll scorn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a fool that's scornful.
That's right.
And that's in Proverbs. You know, is a certain, why do we cast pearls among swine? Do you put this stuff out if they're not going to listen and they're not going to respond?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many warnings do you have to give? I mean, what has to happen? You got to ask yourself, it's like, have we not seen enough?
Mm-hmm.
Have we not been disciplined enough?
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, you just got to say, I've got this. I'm going to respond. And I'm going to respond quickly.
Right?
Because delayed obedience is disobedience, right?
It's still the same.
It's still the same. And sometimes we forget that, but it's like not something that we need to forget. Something we need to really hold close.
Yeah.
Because it's not good. I mean, Proverbs 23:9 says, do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. I mean, a fool will scorn. That means he will mock, he will jeer. Ah, that's not going to happen. Oh, that's. And then sometimes, oftentimes, these are the same people that get offended saying, but nobody told me. If I would have just like, no. You've responded foolishly to so many other things that have been shared to you that this would be just one of them. And, you know, you don't want to be, you don't want to take this on for your life. You don't want to be a person that acts like a fool, that becomes a fool. Proverbs warns us about fools and warns us about being fools and tells us about being wise.
Mm-hmm.
And there was scorn. And it's time for America to stop scorning and stop, you know, jeering and mocking and saying, you know what, God? I'm just going to humble myself. It's time for the church just to humble herself and say, enough is enough. So we rejoice in the fact that this plot was uncovered, and no loss of life, man. No loss of life. That was beautiful.
Thank goodness.
You know, yeah. You know, we've wrapped up our U.S. citizenship game that we've been playing for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot. It was nice going, you know, side to side there with Mr. Pat there. But we've learned a lot on that journey.
Sure did.
On what it means to be an American, what our history means. I mean, this is the exam. I mean, this is the exam that people who want to become U.S. citizens take before they can actually become, a U.S. citizen. This is, they have to take this. They got to pass it, not just take it. You got to pass it. You got to know this stuff.
Right.
And we celebrate that because it's so important. You know, I mean, you got to know. You got to know what this country is all about if you're going to be in this country. And we talked about how many times that we take for granted being born in America and not taking the time to learn about the Constitution, learning about the Declaration, the 27 things that they were able to articulate beautifully of why we are leaving you, King George. This is over. It's a wrap, you know?
Right, exactly.
And why we have the blessed nation that we have today. Well, it's being reported. A wonderful story about a woman from Rwanda. If you remember some time ago, back in the early 90s, Rwanda had that genocide, and there were these two groups, the Tutsis and the Hutus, that were just, killing each other. I mean, it was horrible. They made a movie about it. I believe it was like Hotel Rwanda. They made a movie about it. It was just, devastating. Cutting arms. I mean, it was just crazy. Well, This woman, her name is Immaculee, and I can't really pronounce the last name, so I don't want to butcher it. But she shares about that in 1994, April 7th, 1994, her life was just changed when she was home from college on an Easter vacation, and her brother came to her room and gave her the news that the president of the country was dead. I mean, we take for granted that we elect the president, right? And we have a smooth transition, and although there's a lot of, you know, all this agitation and confrontation during the whole election, once, you know, when they just swore our president now, Barack Obama, for his second term, when you look at in the Capitol, and they had those seats right behind him, I mean, you saw congressmen from both parties right there. I mean, this is the president of the United States, and our whole country is going to get behind our president. Well, it doesn't happen like that in all these countries. So as soon as their president in Rwanda died, her father asked her to go hide in her neighbor's house. She was shocked when she went over there to find out that the neighbor showed her a hiding place, a hiding space, a bathroom that he had kept shut. I guess it was just hidden somewhere. And eventually she wound up sharing the space with seven other women and girls. And this poor woman, the first night she had learned that nearly everyone in her extended family, including her parents and her two brothers, had been killed.
Oh, wow.
So where is all this leading to? Well, she was just sworn in as an American citizen.
Oh, wow.
She just, and you could, I mean, this is her statement. This is quote, okay? I feel American. I feel free. I feel like I am born again. I feel like I have a home again. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you.
Wow.
And she's a 43-year-old mom of two children. She lives in Manhattan. And she was one of 50 people from 16 other countries that were sworn in New York City here recently to become a U.S. citizen. And just to see, you know, you hear her just joy and what she came from. I mean, your parents are dead. This is upheaval. You're able to make it alive. And then, you know, through God's providence and God's hand and God's will, you land in the most blessed nation of the world and you actually become a citizen. You know, I look at those stories and I think, wow, that's absolutely, you know, amazing.
Wow.
I hear of so many people's stories of coming from different countries. Isn't that amazing? I mean, absolutely amazing. She says that she cried after she got her citizenship certificate. Think about that. Her citizenship certificate. I bet that's something that's so proudly displayed.
Oh, you know it.
And most Americans just take it for granted that we're a citizen.
Exactly what I was thinking.
You know, I have a neighbor whose wife is Cuban, and her mother came for a visit, and she marveled at going to the grocery store.
Oh, really?
This is, I mean, talk about, I mean, a rebuke to our, you know, rebuke to us. We normally, when you go on vacation,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes people like to bring little, you know, presents and gifts from, you know, you see people like, someone went to Florida, all they brought me was a t-shirt, or they bring them sand, or they go to California and they bring them a little something on their trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know what her mom brought back, people? Cuba?
Groceries.
No. Our grocery clippings, the ads that come in the newspaper, to show them
the coupons.
Yeah, to show them the food the Americans have at their disposal.
Wow.
She marveled at the inserts. Marveled.
Wow.
When we live in such a blessed land, you know, and none of us chose to be, you know, we didn't choose to be born. We're just Americans. We were born here.
Yeah.
And it's time to remember that, because if we don't cherish what we have, we're going to lose it.
There's
an attack on the Constitution right now. There's an attack on Second Amendment rights, on Fourth Amendment rights. And if we're not aware, we're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. We're going to lose it. And that one document has kept this country together. It's transitioned power peaceably for years, hundreds of years. And I'll tell you, this is just a great story to remind us, and hopefully we'll have the citizenship test, game, and humor all linked to this for you. And I encourage you that if you haven't listened to those segments, I mean, there's about five. I don't know how many of those segments are there. No, I think there's 20 of them. I think of those highlights. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
But what we did is we took just five questions. And we went back and forth. We had the whole, you know, Jeopardy music going in the background, and we're trying to answer these questions. And some we got right, some we got wrong, some we didn't. But we did learn, and this is a great way for you to do with your family. Great way for you to learn. If you're on a road trip, excellent for a road trip. Games, humor, it's excellent, and it'll keep you entertained, and you'll learn a whole lot. But it's just wonderful to appreciate the blessing that we have.
Mm-hmm.
When you think that you are hiding with, how do seven women hide in the bathroom? It's like, you know, a lot of women go to the bathroom together. I get that, you know, but hiding for your life, you know, and being spared. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for America. Mm. Thank you that we're blessed to live here. And Lord, help us to keep this great nation so we can continue to advance your kingdom. Yes. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
What religious rights do city employees have in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work as a garbage collector, and in the truck that we drive, we have a two-way radio, which communicates to our control. I was told that I am not allowed to say, have a blessed day on the radio. I was told that if I continue to do this, I would be fired for making such a statement.
It depends on the policies of the company, but a lot of these companies will have this overreaction to something like have a blessed day, because they think somehow they're going to get sued by creating a hostile religious, you know, environment or a workplace environment, and that's just not the case. So what we normally do in a situation like this is we get it resolved by dealing with the employer and telling them, look, if an employee makes a statement as benign as God bless you, that should not create a constitutional crisis.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you go through in your life. You run after, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but...
Right.
You know, I don't know if you know, Tom Landry, he was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do, mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat for a week,
Right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants,
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, we remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. Abiding with him, which means, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, and I'm saying, to you that, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man, mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come, mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Right before the break, we were talking about how wonderful it is to be an American and to celebrate this blessed land that we live in.
Yeah.
And, we've been talking on VFN Radio about Pastor Saeed. I don't know if you remember Pastor Saeed, but he's an American Iranian born pastor who's jailed in Iran right now, being severely beaten. And he's experiencing even internal bleeding. And his story has really, his as long as with Pastor Youssef prior to him, who's really served the 3-year sentence for evangelizing Muslims in Iran. And, you know, their persecution has, you know, garnered a lot of attention. And now there's two young women, there's two Iranian Christian women who told their own personal story of persecution in Iran. And this isn't a remarkable, amazing story. I mean, these women wound up putting a book together. It's called Captive in Iran. Once you hear their story, you're going to be, I mean, challenged, moved, in awe of God. But both of these women were raised in Iran as Muslims, but had questions about their faith. And they had learned Quran in Arabic, but they wondered why God didn't speak to them in their own Persian language. And so one of these ladies experienced a number of dreams and visions of Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And she says that she met Jesus. She says, "I met Jesus in front of myself, and he was standing next to a large throne that was covered with shining gold." And amazing. Well, shortly after, they wound up giving their life to the Lord. And these two women, Pat, Chris, these two women said, "God gave us a vision to distribute the Bible among the Iranian people."
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you say, "Oh, wow, that's nice. That's nice," right? So you guys going to give out, you know, 20, couple hundred, you know, 1,000 Bibles, praise the Lord. Look, isn't that great? No, not 1,000, not 500. They distributed 20,000 Bibles in their backpacks.
Wow.
At night.
Wow.
At night, putting them in their mailboxes. I want you to listen to their story. This is an extended interview that CBN is bringing to us. And I want you to listen to their story because it's amazing. But two women who are in love with Jesus, who had an encounter with God. This is their journey and what happened. I want you to listen up.
Miriam Ross Tampoor had come home from a dentist appointment and was resting on her couch when her doorbell rang. When she opened the door, her life and the life of her roommate changed forever.
Miriam and Marzia were born into Muslim families in Iran. As young adults, they both became Christians. Converting from Islam is a crime in the Muslim world, punishable by death. The girls knowingly risked their lives and put Bibles in the hands of 20,000 people. They even started two secret house churches. In March 2009, Miriam and Marzia were arrested in Tehran, held in the infamous Evin prison, where they faced execution by hanging.
Please welcome to the 700 Club, Miriam and Marzia. It's nice to have both of you with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Miriam, let me start with you because this whole thing started with you. You were on your couch in your own apartment. You'd come home from a dental appointment. The doorbell rang, and what happened?
Yeah, the day we got arrested, I was home waiting for Marzia to come back from the security police. And I knew that something bad would happen because we were both suspicious about the phone call that Marzia had received in the morning. And it was about 4 p.m. I heard the doorbell rang, and I heard the sound of Marzia with a few others behind the door. I looked through the people, and I could see her with three guards standing in front of the door. And for a moment, I thought that I needed to do something. I wanted to hide our cell phones, you know, to protect our friends and their information. And, you know, I wanted to turn off this TV because we were using satellite, which is illegal. And I was thinking that I needed to call someone and let them know what was happening. But my mind was in shock, and I couldn't do anything. I just opened the door, and they came, and they entered our apartment. They ransacked everywhere. And they took both of us with all our belongings, our Bibles, Jesus movies, and our personal belongings to the security police.
Marzia, when you came in that day and the two of you were taken away, you were taken to a detention center first for a couple of weeks and then to Evan Prison.
Yes.
What were the charges against you?
For the first day and especially the first week, we were so scared and pale, even we couldn't talk because their behavior was so brutal and humiliating. And the only thing that we could do was praying in tongues for each other. And God really strengthened us during that time. And they sent us to detention and, promoting Christianity to be a Christian, it's not illegal. Uh-huh. It's legal. It's not legal. And they had to give us another charge. And they sent us, after 15 days, they sent us to Evin prison with the charge of anti-government, blasphemy, apostasy, and promoting Christianity.
Just based on the materials that you had in your yes. apartment and whatever their suspicions yes. of you were. What were the conditions like in the prison? I mean, we hear about Evin prison here in the Western world and the horrors of it. What was it like?
Of course, it was awful. This prison is notorious for arresting, torturing, raping, and executing of many innocent people. There are many respectful and intellectuals, like religious prisoners, like lawyers, students, journalists, and even doctors who are in prison just because their beliefs are against the government's inhuman rules. And like other political prisoners, we spent 259 days in this prison. And we had the experience of being in solitary confinement. Wow. And once a week, we were being interrogated by two interrogators for long hours.
So in solitary, you aren't even with each other. That must have been very frightening, Marzia. You don't know what's happened to her. They can really lie about things and make you think something's happened that has not. How did you survive that?
As Mariam explained, our situation in 209 was very worse, and they separated us for about 20 days. And each week, once a week, we were being interrogated by two interrogators for long hours, about 8-7 hours. And they took her, and I became worried about her situation because I didn't know where she is, and just I was praying for her to be safe. And we didn't have any information about outside. The cells was very small, and mm-hmm. Just we prayed, and God really helped us during that time.
What kind of deprivation did you see and experience in the prison? And I know that illness often is something that people suffer through there. Talk a little about that, Mariam.
Yeah, for 9 months we were both sick, and we were suffering from different kind of diseases. Marzia had many problems, kidney problems, toothache, and she had headaches, and she was sick all the time. And I had problems. I was poisoned twice in prison. And after 2 weeks, they sent me to a doctor, and she gave me a medicine, which was wrong. And again, I was poisoned. And the doctor just laughed and told me, oh, okay, I think that I gave you wrong medicine. And it was not just about us. There were many prisoners in this prison, mm-hmm. Like political prisoners. And other normal prisoners, they are suffering from this situation in this prison.
At first, I know that you prayed to be released. I mean, I think that would be the natural yes. prayer of anyone yes. that's stuck in a situation like that. But then you began to pray for other people and see God move in the midst of your situation. What? Tell us some of the things that happened there. Marzia, why don't you start?
Yes. Yeah, for the first week, I mentioned earlier that we were so scared, and just we prayed for our release because we didn't want to be in that brutal place. And but after that, we had many great opportunity to talk with many prisoners. There were many prostitutes, addicted people, and most of them they were so hopeless, sad, and disappointed. And we had a great opportunity with them. Before we arrested, we had two house church. One of them was for prostitutes, and the other one was for young people. And when we were in prison, we had this opportunity to be with many prostitutes, and every day we gather to each other and pray, and they cry, and some of them, they confess their sins, and it was like a church for us, and that's why we understood that it is God wills to be in that prison, and we pray for all, most of prisoners.
What was the lowest point in prison for you?
You know, we spent 259 days in prison, and it was only one day that I couldn't feel the presence of God. Mm. And at that time, we were in solitary confinement and we were not together. And one day I just woke up and I couldn't feel the presence of God. That was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. I was so sad.
You're listening to VFN Radio. What you're listening to is the testimonies of two women that were arrested in Iran for evangelizing, sharing the gospel. And you listen to one of the ladies saying, out of 259 days of being incarcerated in this notorious Evin prison in Iran, mm-hmm. where there's torture, rape, brutality,
yeah.
8 hours of interrogation, the worst day of her 259-day sentence was the day that she couldn't feel the presence of God.
Mm.
I mean,
wow.
My goodness. Where have we gone? What I mean,
amazing.
One day without the presence of the Lord. How many are living today, weeks, months, years, as believers, and not even don't even know that God's presence is here or not here? I mean, we need to walk with the Lord in such a way that we're aware when His presence is near and when His presence is not near. We were designed for a relationship that we hear His voice mm-hmm. continually. But the worst day, what was the worst day for this lady was not the interrogations, was not the being alone, was not being, you know, away from her family, interrogated, tortured. No. It was not being in the Lord's presence. I want you to listen up and listen to how she responded and how God graced her. Listen to this.
I didn't know what to do. I was with a Muslim woman. She was a political prisoner. And I just heard a voice in my heart and that told me that start singing. And, you know, I wanted to sing, but I couldn't find the words. I knew many worship songs, mm-hmm. but I couldn't sing. And something was stopping me from praying and singing. And I felt that I needed to start singing in tongues. And, you know, there is a rule in that building 209 that no one is allowed to even speak loudly. And but I just, at that moment, I just wanted to talk to my father. I wanted to have a relationship with him because it was so scary for me that I couldn't feel his presence. And just I started singing in tongues very loudly. And the woman in my cell was so scared. She told me, Maryam, please be quiet. The guards will come and they will punish you. But I continued singing. After 1 hour, I could feel the very presence of the Holy Spirit all around me and in my cell. And also my cellmate.
After 1 hour? After 1 hour of praying and singing in the Holy Ghost, she started feeling the presence of the Lord. I mean, can we pray for 5 minutes and say, okay, thank you, Lord. You know, thank right. you, Lord. That's, thank you. I'm done. 10 minutes. Thank you. No. Mm-hmm. She contended and prayed and faith and just said, I'm going to worship God no matter what. I got to have you, God. I got to have you. Listen to me. Listen up.
Who was a Muslim woman, she could feel the presence of God. And she asked me, please, can we sing in Farsi? I want to join you. I taught her some worship songs, and we started singing with each other. And after 2 hours, I could really feel the peace and joy. And God told me at that day that I am with you every day, even if you don't feel my presence.
That's a good word for everybody who's listening to your testimony. After 59 days, you were released. Why do you think you were suddenly released?
You know, we believe that the first reason that we got released, it's because of God's grace and God's wills. And the second reason, it was about the Christian supports. We heard many Christians all around the world, they were supporting us either by praying and sending letters to prison, which was so encouraging for us. And it made the Iranian government angry. And also we heard that some international organizations like United Nations, Amnesty, and even Pope from Vatican, they sent letters to Iranian government. And the Iranian government, they knew that many people from all around the world, they were watching their activities by their brutal behaviors, by keeping us in this dark and brutal place.
So it makes a difference when people sign these things. Sometimes we hear of someone who's in a prison scenario in another country, and online we're asked to sign petitions, and it does make a difference. What are you both doing with your lives now?
Our main goal here is to be a voice for voiceless, and we are living in a free country. We don't want to just live for ourselves, and we promised some of our friends in prison that we will be a voice for them in future. And we wrote our book Captive in Iran, and we hope that we can spread the message of our book and be a voice for those who are still in prison, who are still suffering. By spreading the message of our book, and by, we put the names on our website, captiveiniran.com, the names of those people who are still in Evin prison because of their faith. And we want to encourage people to continue praying for them and continue sending letters to prisoners.
Prayer makes a huge difference. And we want to just encourage our viewers to go to your website and to pray for these friends you have put on there.
So important what we're listening to. About their faith, two women, so many people, believers. You know, you make excuse, you're going to settle and trying to live for an American dream. And it's like, wait a minute, these two women encountered Jesus. That's the whole thing. If you have to encounter God. Encountering God makes all the difference. Because when you encounter Jesus Christ, all you want to do is give him your life. And they risked their life. This was illegal what they were doing in their country. They knew that they could get in trouble, and yet they were bold and with faith stepped out and delivered 20,000. 20,000 Bibles.
Wow.
Had churches that met in homes. Two of them. And were willing to go through what they went through.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that it's powerful to see what God does. You know, with those that truly love him and are willing to obey him and are willing to step out and say, God, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about these remarkable women that laid their lives down for Jesus Christ. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day. We're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFNTV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the daily VFN radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week, and I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin. And this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables. And she's like, "Hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app?" And I'm like, "The what?" She's like, "You know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it." And I'm like, "Well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone." She's like, No. I use your phone to find my phone." And I was like, "Oh, they got an app for that?" She goes, "Yeah, they got an app for that." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app and I go, "Well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get." And she's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah, there's an app, VFNTV.com. And she's like, "Well, how do I get to that?" I said, "You can go right on Android or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com." Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, "Wow, there's an app for that." I says, "Yep, check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, "I just don't want to be part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number."
Yeah.
"And I just don't want to go to an event." Mm. "I want to experience God."
Yeah.
"I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple." Mm-hmm. "I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game."
Yeah.
"I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd." If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you. Find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today, towards the end of our first hour, is Pat and Chris. And we just listened to a remarkable story of two Iranian women who converted from Islam to Christianity, knowing that what they were going to do could cost them their life, could cost them everything, the rejection of their family. And these two women, one had a vision with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
And they were given a call to distribute 20,000 Bibles to the Iranian people. And they were arrested. They were arrested and were sentenced to 259 days in Evin prison. It's a notorious prison there in Iran. It's actually where Brother Saeed is actually.
He's held the same one?
Yeah, he's in the same prison. Well, they're raping people there, according to these women. They're torturing them. They had 8 hours of interrogation. One was poisoned twice. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that the interviewer asked her, what was the worst day? Mm-hmm. She says her worst day, of 259 days, is the day that she didn't feel the Lord's presence. And
wow.
I mean, beautiful. Walk with God. I mean, that's God's presence is so important. That's what we, you know, every day we need to be aware of His presence, of His love, how much He cares for us, you know, His voice. And it was a lesson for her. It was a beautiful lesson for her, because as she just, only thing she needed to do was just to pray in the Spirit, you know, sing in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and just go after God, to the point where even, listen, if you come get me, I'm making noise, whatever, but it doesn't matter. So you get to that, to that point, you should be in this point. It doesn't matter. Everything's got to go. I got to have God. You can have houses. You can have cars. You can have money. Mm-hmm. You can have all these temporal things. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have the Lord in you, what do you have?
Yeah.
You know, all other ground is sinking sand, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think about that song, you know. You want to stand on something that's strong, that's secure. It's God. At the end of the day, there's nothing sadder to see the end of someone's life, and as they review it and they're coming to the end of it. And I've been at many, many, many deathbeds, being a chaplain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at a medical trauma center, it's nothing more sadder to see someone reviewing their life and realizing that most of their life was regret. It was all for naught, mm-hmm. because they led people and friends and family to all these other things that they thought was right, but they didn't lead them to Jesus. They didn't know anything about God.
That's right.
Their life was void of the Lord. And you can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want my life to end that way. Mm. I don't want my life. I want my life right now to be all about Jesus. And everyone in this, I mean, look around. The reason why people are shocked when things happen is because they hung their hat on something so securely and said, this is that,
right.
You know, it's about this. Or it's about this job, or we finally got the home, or finally got the relationship, or finally got what I wanted, and this is the mother load. As soon as you said this was that,
yeah,
God said, nope.
It's gone.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
Because only He is the one. Hang your head on God. Make God your habitation. It's, you know, put your roots down deep in the Lord. And so she said, I learned something really powerful. And she said, God spoke to her, heard God's voice. And she said, the Lord said, I am with you every day. I'm with you even though you don't feel me. Mm. We have to be so secure in our walk with God. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Wow.
He's an ever-present help. He's with you. It's not about a feeling. The kingdom of God is not about a feeling. It's a
fact.
It's a fact. It's a fact. Surety.
And certainty.
Certainty. Being fully persuaded that God is God. Mm-hmm. I am. The great I am, right?
That's right.
He is whatever He needs to be in our life for that situation and that timing. And the interviewer asked her, why'd you get out? And she says, well, God's will.
That's right.
God's will. You know, God has a plan for us. He doesn't have to filter it through our mind. And you go, well, how they could be in prison? How could they be part of God's mind? And, you know, how could that happen? It's like, listen, this is not about us. We didn't decide to be born. We didn't pick our parents. We didn't decide what country we're going to be. We didn't decide any of this.
That's right.
But God says that He knit us in our mother's womb, that He knew us before the foundations of the earth. Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that God has plans. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And God will give us grace. He will empower us for whatever situation that we're in. There is a grace for the place. And they found that in the most horrific hell place on earth, Jesus said, I'm with you always.
Sorry.
And God used them to reach out to the lowly, to the rejected, to the despised, And they had a voice. They were able to minister to people that they never would have had a chance to minister to in that situation. Let me tell you, all of God's promises are yes and amen. And all of God's plans are wonderful and beautiful. You can trust God today. He is faithful and he is true.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.